Welcome to the Lagan Valley Vineyard podcast. We are a community passionate about seeing Lagan Valley filled with the presence and the teachings of Jesus. If you would like to connect with us or if we can help you in any way, please visit our website, laganvalleyvineyard.com.
Wonderful. Just before we jump into the scriptures this morning, I want to say, if you missed last Sunday when we had Ben from IGM and Jenny and Steph from Flourish with us, can I really, really encourage you to catch up on YouTube or podcast for that. Also to say, if you got in touch with me wanting to give towards Flourish, that code will be going out this week. Okay, so Ben shared that it costs roughly £5,000 for IGM to rescue a family or an individual out of slavery. And so as a church, we are giving IGM £5,000. And then we're trying to raise £5,000 for Flourish. We think we're there, but you're not off the hook. If you want to give towards that, we'd love you to. So just drop me an email, andy@laganvalleyvineyard.com, and I will give you the details of how we're going to do that this week. But that was last Sunday. If you have a Bible, or there should be one sitting around you, why don't you grab it? We're going to be in the book of Joshua for the next 9 weeks or so. It's page 144 in your Bibles. If you do have a Bible at home, like a real one, you know, not this thing. If you have a real Bible, like, it'd be brilliant to bring it to church, you know. Like that might be an idea. I don't know. It's kind of important around here. But if you don't have one, please take one of these. We are a real treat to be able to give you one. But as we study the book of Joshua over the next 9 or 10 weeks, I'd really encourage you to bring your Bible, not your distraction device. And to read the word of God there. But we're going to read from Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 5 this morning. Let me pray as we come to God's word. Father, thank you that you are a God that speaks. And our confession in this moment is that we need your voice. And we welcome your voice. And so we pray, come, Holy Spirit. Amen. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the River Jordan into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will be extended from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. And no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. It began at a funeral. If you turn back a page to Deuteronomy chapter 34, the chapter just before we get to these verses, we read about the funeral of Moses and the people of Israel in mourning. Just in case you don't remember where we find ourselves in the God story in these verses, let me give you a little bit of context. Some of you will remember Jason Donovan and Joseph and his technicolored dream coat. This is kind of where this part of the story began. His brothers sell him into slavery, and he's faithful to God, and he ends up essentially as prime minister of Egypt, and a great famine sweeps the land, and his brothers and all of their family end up coming and gathering at his feet, and he brings them all to Egypt, and he gives them food, and he takes care of them. Fast forward roughly 400 years later, how things started for this family and how they ended are dramatically different. They have become slaves, and they have been enslaved for nearly 400 years. And in that context of slavery, they begin to cry out to God, where are you? Do you see us? Have you any idea what we are enduring? Are you going to actually be who you said you would be? Or have you completely forgotten about us? And Moses, who's a fugitive wandering in the wilderness looking after his father-in-law's sheep, stumbles upon a tree that is on fire, but it is not consumed. And out of the tree, God speaks and he says, Moses, I have heard my people's cry. Go and tell Pharaoh to let them go. Moses, as many of you will know, confronts Pharaoh, and Pharaoh eventually lets the people of Israel go, and they leave, they flee Egypt. But things don't go quite according to plan. They end up wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. And they have some really amazing high points and some really, really bad low points. We have been talking about the wilderness as a community for 2 years now, since around March 2020. You know, that really insignificant month in all of our lives. And what's interesting for many of us is this last kind of 2 years has really been like a wilderness time, a time of change, a time of challenge, a time where press briefings and prime ministers got to make decisions that radically affected our lives at seemingly moments' notices. And we've been talking about how the wilderness is not an unusual place for the people of God. The wilderness actually in the story of God is a really, really important place. Jesus himself spent time in the wilderness. The wilderness isn't necessarily punishment. It's not necessarily the place you find yourself when you've done loads of things wrong. There are three things that typically happen in the scriptures when we read about wilderness seasons in people's lives. The wilderness is a place of preparation. The wilderness is a place that we go to let go of things. The wilderness is a place of formation. It's a place that we go to grow in things. And the wilderness is ultimately a place of transition. It is out of the wilderness that God calls us into new ground, new territory, new realms with him and with what he wants to do with us in the world. I wonder, in the last 2 years, what have you let go of? What have you grown in? And I wonder, what new thing is God whispering to you about at this time? The people of Israel have been waiting on this transition for centuries. Literally for centuries, generation after generation after generation has retold the story that one day God would give this people a land to call their own. And out of that place, they would become a blessing for the entire world. And the moment has arrived. I wonder if you believed that your life had a destiny, like a God-designed purpose. Like if you believed that that was true for your life, and you believed that you were actually on the threshold of what had gone before and about to step into that destiny, I wonder, what do you think that threshold moment would feel like? Like, what would be the experience of just the moment before all of the promises of God written over your life were about to come true? I wonder what you think your emotional state would be. For most of us, I think we would think we'd be quite excited, quite energized, quite full of faith and expectation, except my reading of the scriptures is that is almost never the case. Almost always, the moment before some incredibly exciting, adventurous, new God thing happens, the people find themselves fearful and feeble and vulnerable and sometimes even hiding. Like we think the moment of transition would come when we are our most alive, our most courageous, our most full of faith. Like for Joshua, his moment is in a funeral. For Joseph, his moment was in a prison. For Moses, his was on the side of a mountain in obscurity, working for his father-in-law. Some of you will remember for Peter, James, and John, after the death of Jesus, they'd just gone back to their ordinary lives. Broken men, let's go fishing again. I guess that was all a waste of time. For Gideon, he was hiding in a wine press. Literally terrified. And God shows up and says, "How's it going, mighty warrior?" Like, it almost sounds like an insult. For us in this moment, I wonder how you're feeling. I wonder how full of faith and courage and vision you are. You see, something really interesting is going to happen over the next 6 months. We've all got new language over the last couple of years, don't we? Like, we say words that we never said before. Like, over the next 6 months, at some point, we will most likely move from a pandemic to an endemic. I never said either of those words pre-March 2020. Culturally, we are about to move into something new. The worst thing any of us could do is try to dream of some version of February 2020. And the reality is that will never return. We have lived through a collective trauma that this part of the world probably hasn't really experienced since the Troubles. And the reality is most of us have no clue really how it's affected us. You know what's really interesting? I was talking to a friend about this week, is my parents' generation, how many of them say the words, "I wasn't really affected by the Troubles." And what they mean is, I didn't have a catastrophic trauma. Like, my car didn't get blown up, or my friend's car. But we are fooling ourselves to think anybody lived through that and didn't come out with some effects. And we're exactly the same over the last couple of years. Maybe we just haven't connected the dots yet, but it's affected all of us. But my question to us is, what will we emerge out of this into? Who will we be in 6 months' time? And who will inform that? And my prayer for us is that's not just the news or the government. Will we learn how to prioritize the voice of God over the government? I'm not up here screaming anarchy, you know. But I am saying we have all, over the last couple of years, to a greater or lesser degree, been so informed about what we do and how we do it and where we do it by what's happening and playing out on our news websites or on our newspapers. And that was appropriate. But that's going to change. And who will inform us when it does? The people of Israel have been waiting on this transition for centuries, and the moment has arrived. They do not arrive at this threshold full of energy and enthusiasm, full of faith and courage. It begins at a funeral. They are full of grief. They are burdened with loss. They are no doubt a little bit confused and vulnerable and weak. And as if that wasn't enough, listen to the words from Deuteronomy 34, verse 10. This is literally the previous chapter. "Since then, no prophet," talking about Moses, "since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel." Just imagine being Joshua in this moment. This is not the succession speech you dream of. "Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Joshua. He's never going to be as good as the other guy." That's the introduction to Joshua. "For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel." Glad you know that, Joshua. On you go, son. Get to it. It seems so often when God speaks to people about a great new adventure, rarely do they find themselves in a place of strength and courage. How do we feel right now? How able do you feel to step into some grand new God adventure? The reality is, for many of you, this last 2 years have just about held on to your faith. And for many of you, you feel like you've lost it. Not to mention what's currently going on around us. It's been quite a week, right? Chaos in Downing Street. Our own government collapsing again. The US have sent more troops into the Ukraine. China and Russia have released a joint statement accusing NATO of espousing Cold War ideology. And if you didn't think we were living in weird times, Scotland just retained the Calcutta Cup for the first time in 38 years. And that's without even talking about COVID. That's just kind of what's happened over the last week. How are you feeling? Before I went on sabbatical, I'm going to be really honest with you for a wee second. Before I went on sabbatical, if you had asked me, Andy, how are you feeling? And I had been brave enough to be really, really honest. There are two words that kind of would have summarized how I was feeling. Exhausted and a bit bored. Exhausted and a bit bored. Since I've returned from sabbatical and spent time with many of you, what I've discovered is that's how most of us are feeling. And the reality is those two things actually are so connected. The more exhausted we get, the more bored we get, because the less able we feel to get up and do the things that we know will bring us life. Life over the last 2 years has beaten many of us up. It has left us tired. And for many of us, when we get tired, we set down so many of the things that we know we should be investing our lives in. And the fruit of that is we get bored. And that is the beginning of the flames of our faith dwindling. Because we stop reaching for impossible things. We stop taking risks. We stop saying, Jesus, what exactly do you want to do with this week for me? And we just get into that one day, becomes the next week, becomes the next month. And we turn around 6 months or 12 months or 18 months or 24 months later and go, I don't really feel like anything anymore. I'm actually a bit numb. I'm just kind of cruising and I'm just coasting and I don't feel like I have much left to give. The reality is this is a threshold moment for all of us. And I know most of us don't find ourselves sitting here thinking, things have never been better, Andy. I'm just raring to go. But we do stand at a threshold, at a transition, at a moment where we are about to step into new ground. Will we listen to the voice of God? What will we do with this new ground? How will we occupy it? And who will we take with us into it? Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready. Past is the past. You could spend the rest of your life wishing you were in a different place, wishing that you'd handled the last 2 years in some kind of different way, wishing that your faith was greater, wishing that you had more of fill in the blank. The reality is Moses is dead. The past is the past. Now then, you and all these people get ready. This was never supposed to be about what we had. We used to say this almost every week at the beginning of this adventure of church, that the boy with his lunch feeding the 5,000 is the best example we could ever see of this, where it's not about what we have, it's about who we're giving it to. It is so easy for us to look at our own lives and all we can see is our lack and our brokenness and our mistakes and our failures and our not enoughness and be paralyzed by it. And the reality is, in this moment, I don't know what Joshua's personal discourse was. Like, I don't know what kind of state he found himself in his tent in. But my suspicion is it wasn't full of courage and faith. And we'll talk more about that next week. I have a suspicion, and it's not in the text, so I am kind of playing here. But I have a suspicion that Joshua was convinced God was going to resurrect Moses. Like, wouldn't that be the ultimate miracle after everything that they had seen? After the sea splitting and the pillars of fire and the clouds and the food falling from the sky and all of these incredible miracles. And Moses leading the people into the promised land. And just when they get to the threshold, he dies. And wouldn't it be just like God to resurrect them and him to lead everybody into this great new place of promise? So God has to be quite direct with Joshua. Moses is dead, mate. He's not coming back. You are where you are. Now then, get ready. You are where you are. Now then, get ready. I know that we are tired. I know many of us are grieving that the last 2 years has been more than a loss of our social lives. We've buried loved ones and not been able to visit and be at funerals and all of those things. I know that we are burdened. I know that we are tired. And God says that he sees all of that. Now then, get ready. Get ready. These journeys never begin in a place of our choosing, in a way or a time that feel ideal for us. This is not the way that we would want it or the way that we would design it, and that's why we need God. And over the next 9 weeks or so, we're going to look at a blueprint laid out in the book of Joshua of what it takes to step into new ground with Jesus. But I want us to start in this moment acknowledging together that what has just gone has been really hard. And many of us find ourselves here in a moment of weakness and vulnerability. And if you know anything about the church and its history, you'll know that that is a wonderful place for the people of God to find themselves in. A place of weakness, a place of vulnerability, a place of dependence. It begins at a funeral, just like it did for Joshua. What does that look like for us? Maybe Catherine and Lucy and Gary, you'll come back up as we finish. What does that look like for us? I don't know how many of you, just wave at me if you started the new year with some kind of commitment to like fitness or new health regime or something like that. Don't be shy, we're not going to judge you. I think some of you are lying. Yeah, there's like, yeah, okay, cool. People are like, I don't know what this means. Does this mean that like he's going to make me... Whenever we had kids, we had three kids in 18 months. It was a bit intense. And life for me for about 3 or 4 years didn't look like much else other than kind of doing church and being a parent. And I was approaching my 30th birthday and I realized that like I was really, really unfit, like badly unfit. And I'm one of those people hate that my fitness never appears or lack thereof on my body, right? So I can look like this and be really unfit and I can feel it. And so I remember coming up to Christmas as I was approaching my 30th birthday thinking I need to do something to get fit again. So I've never been a gym guy. Gyms bore me. Sorry if you're into gyms, but I just find gyms really boring. So I phoned a friend and we booked a climbing trip to Scotland in March because I knew that that would like book the ferry, pay for the trip, and I knew the trip would be absolutely miserable if I didn't get fit before I went. And so we booked the trip for the end of March. This is the beginning of December, and I was like, right, I need to get back into the hills again. And so early December, whatever year that was, me and a friend decided we'd go and climb on Slieve Beg. It's one of my favourite places in the moors to climb. And we arrived in Donard Car Park, and many of you will know the walk up through the forest and then up the steps, up to the wall, and then we would go out towards Beg. And I'm not joking, by the time I got to the wall, I was like moments away from vomiting. Like, it was so bad. There was nothing enjoyable about it. It was just effort and discipline and graft. And I felt a bit embarrassed and all of those kind of things. And it was no fun at all. But as I continued to invest in that the next week, the next week, the next week, by the time we got to Scotland at the end of March, I could literally spend the entire day walking, climbing and enjoying it. Isn't that so weird? That the thing that you feel like is the most unattractive, no crack at all, can then become the thing that you think, this is awesome. It's actually the litmus for me and my own fitness is I can tell what kind of shape I'm in by my desire for exercise. Like whenever I'm super unfit, I have no desire to exercise at all. And whenever I'm in shape, I'll find myself thinking, I have 15 minutes, I'll just run up the mountain and back down again with the dogs. Guys, our spiritual lives are no different. Whenever we find ourselves in a, forgive this term, but a spiritually flabby state, the idea of getting up early to pray, the idea of investing our lives in the scriptures, the idea of finding moments and creative and imaginative ways to join in with what Jesus is doing all around us feels like nothing other than effort. It's not attractive. Netflix looks like a way better option, but as we prioritize those things, as we discipline ourselves to get up early and pray, to open the scriptures, to share our faith, to find ways to connect our lives to the unfolding God story all around us, as we invest in that and as our spirit is strengthened, we begin daydreaming about it, longing for it. It begins to be the very center and orientation of our lives, where 2 days without talking to Jesus begins to feel like weird. And instead of the radio, we turn it off and pray in the car. Or instead of TV, we find ourselves opening the scriptures before bed, whatever that is. This is that moment. Wherever you find yourself right now, God says, now then, get ready. And that readiness might look like, for you, my walk to the wall between Donard and Comida for the first few weeks, where it's just a discipline to drag yourself out of bed and find a chair and say, Jesus, here I am. But I promise you, as you invest in that and as your spirit strengthens, your desire and your hunger for those things begin to grow and flow out of your life. And this is how it starts. If you're able, will you stand? Some of you feel like the last couple of years has been like one big failure, maybe the last 10 years. It hasn't gone the way that maybe you think back and go, geez, I wish I had done that different. Moses is dead. The past is the past. This is the moment when we open ourselves to the voice of God. We say, here I am. It is what it is. I am who I am, and you know that. We say this all the time in this community, that when it comes to these moments, we want to say with our bodies what we're saying with our hearts. This is nothing new. It's nothing modern. It's as ancient as these lands, that we would learn to worship God with our whole selves, not just our minds. And so can I encourage you to close your eyes and just open your hands in front of you? It's not magic. It's just you saying with your body what you're saying with your heart. That, God, I'm here. I'm open. And I want to receive whatever it is that you want to give me right now. I need you. I need you. I need you. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Wake us from our sleep. Pour your grace out upon us. Restore a broken heart. Lord, we confess we've been sleeping for too long. Awaken us to the wild adventures that you open in front of us. Come now, we pray. Come. Lord, we just say that we're here. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the wildness of your Spirit calling us deeper into adventure with you. Give us ears to hear what you're saying. Super important to point out that these moments, these beginnings for us, they don't begin with judgment. They don't begin with, here's everything you should have done different. Equally, they don't begin with some big kind of take the hill inspiring speech. They begin with gentle restoration as God says, I see you and I know and it's time to go. We're going to continue to unpack this book over the next kind of 8 or 9 weeks. Like I said, love you to bring Bible with you. Feel free to read on, read ahead. If you do want to give towards Flourish, like I said, drop me an email, andy@lagavalleyvineyard.com. If you need context for that, just jump on to last week's service, and that'll explain all of that. Thanks so much for being with us. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.